Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert. Welcome in, J.C.
Hello.
Hello.
It's good to be here today. Lots of talk about soccer in the McKellar Enterprises chat box. Here's my thing on soccer. I was quiet. I just watched too much of it when I used to cover high school sports as a newspaper reporter back when I first got out of college. Don't really like the game. Hate it when it goes to overtime in the spring. It's too dang long. Imagine working on the shores of Lake Lanier, for those of you familiar with Atlanta. And you're at the Lovett School in downtown with all that traffic. And yeah, you got a deadline. You have to get back. The freaking match started at 5. And it goes to overtime. And they just don't play one. Like, they don't do just like sudden death penalty kicks. And there's like 20 minutes, then 20 minutes, then this, then that. I don't know how they do it in the World Cup or whatever.
It's arbitrary style. Like, it just seems so subjective. Like, we'll tack on another 6-7 minutes.
So the sport itself, I understand why people like it, and I think the atmospheres are great, and the people that are passionate about it, honestly, man, that you do you. It's great. I'm not mad at you. I don't think less of you. In fact, it's admirable that you would like a game like that. I mean, the thing that makes my blood boil about soccer sometimes is the soccer people out there want to apply the English Premier League rules and the European soccer rules with relegation and things like that to college athletics, which, look, man, that's over there. Okay. Even Major League Baseball, which has had some has some franchises that don't even try, right? They don't even try, Phil.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They exist to get to the trade deadline and get their bottom line up, right? Even in Major League Baseball in this country, we just don't do that here with our sports leagues. So keep that over there. You want to do it in Canada? That's fine.
That's right.
Feel free. We should have relegated the Vancouver Grizzlies instead of moving them to Memphis. But they did relegate the dang Expos that brought them to Washington.
That is true.
But look, man, I mean, that's fine. But keep that over. That's not a good idea for college sports. You want to talk about controversial? Think about this right now. Think about how everything's decided in college sports. It's a cluster poo, okay? With academic people making these decisions that they have to have committees and all that. They don't really know much about sports, but they make the decisions. Can you imagine, like, who decides who goes down? And the politicking that would take place with that, and the conspiracy theories. Next year you pop up, Texas Tech gets relegated because they went 3-9 because they don't have a quarterback. Oh, sorry. Not sorry. Oh, so sorry. that just ain't going to work. But that makes my blood boil. Speaking of that, the Senate has passed through committee, which means this can get to a floor vote, the Protect College Sports Act. 19-9 was the vote, I believe. It is a bipartisan bill. And the SEC and Big Ten are against it. Now, they fixed some of the stuff. The Big Ten and SEC, we continue to believe revisions are needed to secure our support for the bill. We're encouraged that several Commerce Committee members share our concerns and support those recommendations. We'll continue working with stakeholders to ensure the bill delivers meaningful protections for student athletes. Now, it already does. The protections for and lasting stability for college sports. They are not interested in any of those things. In fact, if they pulled the pool your media rights thing out of it, they would be all for this. The SEC and Big Ten are just like everybody else in college sports. You got to pull the mask off, okay? And institutions, there's a handful of them out there that you know, they're kind of in it. You pull the mask off of them and you'll see that they're part of the problem as well. The problem is they don't fundamentally want to do what's best for the sport or college sports. Fundamentally, they're looking at it as a corporate enterprise.
Yeah.
You know how big companies gobble up little companies? The good, and then the bad little companies just go away, right? Ain't nobody buying BlackBerry, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What's it called? Research in Motion was the company. Yeah. I watched the BlackBerry movie the other day. It's actually a pretty good movie. Mm-hmm. I had a BlackBerry before I switched to iPhone. I liked it. But anyway, you know, that's what they're doing, clearly. Now, I can't prove it. But, you know, they clearly want to run everything.
Right.
And they clearly know the best way to do that is to get rid of the extra mouths to feed and the other conferences, take the best of the Big 12 and ACC, and then just go their own way. Because, look, this bill is not perfect. There's some things in there I don't agree with. But in the United States of America, if you want the government to act, particularly Congress in an election year, then you have to do what's called compromise. People use that phrase, where the sausage is made. Mm. I don't watch sausage getting made because I happen to love sausage. And I don't want to watch it getting made. I love babies too. I don't want to watch a live birth. I love baby elephants. I saw an elephant giving birth on Instagram the other day, Phil, and I almost lost my sausage.
That's right.
Right. The one in my belly. So, look, man, it's just one of those things where, this is, and I'm an SEC guy through and through. You guys know that. I mean, I love the South. I love the schools in the SEC. I hate the Big Ten. But the SEC is wrong for this. And I'm going to tell you this too. If they think for a minute, let me just go there. Fans out there, I'll ask you a question in the McKellar Enterprises chat box. And you tell me, even if you're out on X. Do you really care? I mean, obviously, you need revenue, right, to pay players now, right? Because that's not going away with all of this. But what they're going to do with this bill is it will be federal. The NIL, the outside NIL, will be regulated according to federal law. And it is so much harder to get something that Congress and the president have passed overturned. I mean, it would have to be downright unconstitutional.
Right. And even then,
I think with a limited antitrust exemption, then they're not going to, you know, good luck with that. So they're going to get all this under control. Would you rather fix the issues and maybe Carolina gets a little lighter check down the road? Because there's studies that say this will make the SEC and Big Ten more. There's studies that say this will make the SEC and Big Ten are convinced less. I think it's about power and control.
Right.
Really. I think it's about, I think it's not about leveling the playing field. So Gamecocks, would you rather maybe Carolina and Bama and Tennessee and everybody else get a little less TV money, but college sports returns to how you once knew it? Only players are getting a set amount that's divided up, and you know, you have to do that part of it too. It'd be very similar to college baseball when you had 11.7 scholarships and you were dividing it up. And then some schools that have really good outside NIL, like legit, that gets approved, would be an advantage. But frankly, that's up to the institutions to do. That would be up to South Carolina to do, the administration. You know, you'd have to just be part of it. So, or are you concerned? Are you, as a supporter of the University of South Carolina, would you rather just continue to be this way so the Big Ten and SEC can hold on to their TV money? Because I'll tell you this, Mike Elko's right. If the amounts that the agents and everyone else are and the folks that want to bankrupt the sport because they believe that they will be part of leadership in a union, which means they're going to make money. Those people out there that are pushing unionization, that's their agenda, by the way.
Yeah, they're serving no purpose other than their own.
I think we could talk about a players association or a union as long as it fits the various, because that is something governed by state law, right? And things like that. But and you're talking about most of these schools are public too. That's a public sector union. They are frowned upon in a lot of our states, and rightfully so, because I've seen what it does, what those types of unions do in Illinois. Those are different. They serve as political action committees in some states,
right?
And not real unions. You know, in Illinois, you got the good unions, which are the people that work with their hands, and they're overwhelmingly positive, because you have guys that have made careers and sent their kids to college and built houses. You know, doing work. You know, and I like that. I mean, and when you hire somebody to do a job, you may pay a little more, just a little bit. But they're insured and bonded through the union, so if they screw it up, they come back and fix it for you. I think all those types of unions are positive. These public sector unions are not. And so what do? You don't have but a handful of private schools. So that's the union argument. But these people that want to do it, they don't care about any of the details. They're just like, unionize. You know why? Because they're going to make millions of dollars either writing contracts, negotiating, or being the head of the union. And there's like three of them, so only one can be the union. So I wonder what the other. I wonder if they'll be pro union then. No, they'll just be anti this year. So anyway, so there's people pushing that. So would you rather? And I don't think it'll ever. I don't think the unionization employment will ever happen. So would you rather this bill pass? Carolina gets less TV money, or you know, or maybe not. Maybe not. Who knows? Who knows? Or would you rather not it not pass? And I'm sorry, this bill passed. Carolina gets maybe a little less TV money. Yet there's a one-time transfer rule now. There's legit lawful caps on NIL. The NCAA can enforce its rules. You know, the conference can't expand anymore, and they can't bring in Notre Dame or whoever else to come in and make the schedule even harder. Coaches cannot leave before the season's up. A lot of the crazy, and they did put some gambling stuff in there too. So we'll never have the embarrassment of Brendan Sorsby again. Okay. Would you rather have that as a college sports fan, South Carolina fan, or not have any of that just so the SEC can continue to make money? I think a lot of these representatives, even because I think the SEC and Big Ten are under the impression that every senator in every state that has a Big Ten or SEC school, they're just going to be like, oh, yeah, we're just going to vote against it because our schools. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think that's the case at all, because I think a lot of their constituents, which is who they answer to, and even the schools, if you really ask them, want some stability. They don't give a damn about that Big Ten and SEC's television contract. And that's my point with all this. Tommy Tuberville, who, you know, good football coach, probably going to be governor of Alabama. Moron when it comes to legislation and moron when it comes to this. I don't know about moron, Phil. I'm going to be quiet because he'll hear me. With
this. That's right. Yeah, you have to.
But look, you know, everything he's done so far has been like a coach. You know, he's looking at it like he's mad. You know, he's a little ticked because at Auburn, he used to stockpile talent. Nobody else could get it, right? But now he's against the bill because he's like, government control of this, government control of that. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I mean, college sports, you're asking the government to come in and control players from leaving. But, oh, by God, they regulate it financially to even the playing field. Oh, no, you can't do that.
No.
I'm ready for him to go be governor of Alabama. So I just look at it, but that's my question. That's my question. It's like, guys and gals, do you want some semblance of stability in college sports? Money's still going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think all the things that are good for South Carolina for the most part are, you know, still going to be there. The transfer portals help South Carolina. NILs help South Carolina generally. The Gamecocks at times have had their struggles in those areas. For sure. but so is everybody else. Or is the TV contract with the SEC more important? Just let me know. There's really no wrong answer. I get why they're doing it. I disagree with them because I would rather get stop the every off season. We're talking about legal stuff and unions and all this mumbo jumbo. Craig, who's one of our biggest fans, he hates this stuff. I'm sure many of you do too. It's important. We have to talk about it. But I would rather not get on here and talk about it. I'd rather talk about players and depth chart and, you know, and big picture stuff and history and all that.
Was there anything that prevents the individual conferences themselves from continuing down a path individually with media rights? I mean, is there something in this bill that triggers an all or nothing pool? That's what I've never understood. I'm like, I don't see where this threatens the Big Ten or SEC other than allowing the Big 12, ACC, and G6 to pool their rights and compete on a level playing field.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're arguing as if they're going to be forced into some sort of situation where they're going to have to be pooled with every single college in the nation for some giant omnibus contract, if you will, and then split the proceeds between schools that may not necessarily deserve it. But
that's what's happening though, Phil. It's they want everybody to be so in order to get the antitrust exemption, you have to opt in.
Oh, you're going to have to opt in. Right. See, that's the I have not
yeah. Now what they're saying in. Is part of that opt in that the bigger conferences will automatically get a bigger piece of the pie because that's what the networks want to do and all that. I think what it does fundamentally, either way, whether or not the Big Ten or SEC is making more money, it takes the control away from them, right? Yeah. I don't know who's negotiating it for who, but it takes, you know, they don't get their own little deal with Disney anymore, and I don't know. I'd like for that those little relationships to break up.
Well, I think that was one of Sankey's many kind of missteps here recently is putting all the eggs in one basket, right? I mean, where the Big Ten kind of got around that saying, hey, we'll do a deal with CBS, we'll do a deal with Fox, we'll do a deal with NBC, we'll do a deal with anybody who'll do a deal with us. You know,
yeah.
And yet you decided as the SEC, oh, it's better to have one partner here and get rid of the partner you've had forever in CBS, right? That's kind of who facilitated you starting all this. Turn your back on them and go, yeah, I've never agreed with that. But I didn't realize, though, that it was you're going to have to buy into pooling everybody's rights
to get the antitrust exemption.
Yeah, to get the exemption itself. Yeah, I must have missed that sentence here because there's all sorts of, you know, there's a lot of news about it, but I'm having a hard time getting through the bill itself, which I did finally get a copy of. So
Quantrell said, just thinking out loud, which would realistically bring more regulation to the sport, federal involvement or the unionization employment of the sport? I just want the burden completely off the fans to fund programs. Well, yeah. Well, Quantrell, I think you mean fund players. Fans have always funded programs. Without fans, there's no money.
Yeah, but yeah, having to.
The federal law does more. The federal law makes more sense. You know, if you want it to kind of have to look a little like it once did, right? And that's a federal law, and there is antitrust in there, and it kind of turns the lights back on in Indianapolis, you know, as flawed as they are, but there's some stability with it. Now they'll sue about the law and say it's unconstitutional, all this BS, but it's not going to be. I mean, there's precedent for it. Unionization and employment, what that's going to do is it's not realistically applicable state to state to state to state to state. These are public. If they're employees, they're public employees. The people that are going to be, I mean, you know, you could have a, it'd be the sad day. What are they going to do if they strike? What are they going to do if they walk out, Phil? Not are they still going to have to go to class? I mean,
right? Yeah, how far does that go? And yeah, are you as a fan going to be able to get your money back for that game?
That'll be it for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll go to the beach. I'll go to something. I'll go drive a forklift at Home Depot. I'll be fine to do that. Rodney Carrington said that one time. So, heck, if y'all quit coming to my shows, I'll go drive it. I love Rodney Carrington. So I think this federal law is not perfect. There's some things in there that are still sort of problematic, but at least it's something, right? And at least it kind of gets a hold of some of the stuff to where we don't have crap popping up all the time. Cam says, little money has never told big money what to do, unfortunately. Well, the federal government has more money than everybody because they print it. So, a players union in college sports, I could only imagine how that would play out. Yeah, that'd be bad. TD says, I don't give a damn about the TV money. I want to see some regulation and rules. Me too. X-Man said, I think a one-time transfer would fix the majority of problems. Yeah, with roster and player movement and stuff. Sort of make you think. I think you'd go to multi-year contracts then. And
yeah, you could expand it out.
You wouldn't have player agents holding programs hostage. So what it would do is eliminate a lot of the whole, guys that aren't really worth a lot of money, and then you can't confirm if another school's give it, so you just give it to them to make let them stay. So Dexter says unions have to be called associations in South Carolina. Gamecock 346. Have to have some kind of stability. So most Gamecocks that are in the chat box, at least, they don't care about the TV money. I don't either. And my opinion is, like, okay, so the SEC and Big Ten, they don't have a bunch of lobbying dollars to throw around. They've been lobbying and spending lobbying money to get something passed, and now they're going to lobby against it? I don't think they have that kind of mojo. I think it's going to have to be the individual colleges within the states. And I don't know that all their members care about them having their own TV deal. Bill makes a point here. What good is being a millionaire if you have to compete against billionaires? I'm going to address that when I get back, because I'm kind of tired of hearing that from folks.
What good is being a millionaire? Well, it's better than, struggling to feed your family. I don't care who you're eating with.
As it relates to South Carolina, being a millionaire is pretty good. I mean, I don't know where people keep thinking that everybody, that's a very mid-90s, early 2000s viewpoint of the University of South Carolina. They got a late start with NIL and all that, but it's fine. Now, South Carolina is not at a spending disadvantage, but against the 7, 8, 10 schools that everybody else in the country is, including folks like Alabama. I hear some stuff sometimes. It's like, I just don't think people know. They're like, oh, Alabama bought him. Alabama just outspent us. I'll tell you this right now. There's a couple of recruits out there right now. Bama's in it. Carolina's in it. Bama's not outspending anybody. No. Neither is Georgia. Neither is Clemson. All the schools Carolina competes with that's beaten their brains in over the years, they're not the ones. It's, you can tell who the ones are.
Yeah.
Most of them are in Texas. Well, Phil, now LSU, the LSU prior to that.
No, I'm saying, this cycle is, they have emerged on the scene, right? Yeah.
I'll say this right now. I don't think any, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think any of those kids that went to LSU money. And I'm going to tell you this right now. There was a dumb rumor floating around out there that LSU gave Trey Sagar $2 million. That's not true.
Yeah, no, I don't think that some of
no way in God's green earth. And they got three running backs. They're all at $6 million for three running backs. No, you don't do that. And the thing about Lane Kiffin is he understands position value. He's like, I'm just tired of the MLB format. They tried doing it at LSU. Miami has reemerged. Miami should have been good four or five times.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. Why are you tired of it? You're not the Pittsburgh Pirates. You're kind of basically the Braves or the Cubs or somebody like that. I mean, that's the thing. I think Gamecock fans sit there and think, oh, God, here we go. Because they're not giving any money to NIL, some of them. And they don't really know kind of how it works. That's a big problem, too, is like nobody knows how it works. But I'm here to tell you, I mean, it's not – Carolina's not rich, but Carolina's not dirt poor either. So constant head hanging and oh God, we're never going to compete because these two big schools are spinning. You are a big school. You big dummy. I mean, you are a big school. I'm certainly not saying you're at the top of the SEC in spinning. Mike intentionally didn't get us on money today, and now I'm on money. But if you're middle of the pack in that league, you're doing okay.
Right.
So that's the deal there, man. It's just like I think what I don't want it to become is an excuse. You know, South Carolina spent plenty of NIL money last year and had a terrible season in football, men's basketball, and baseball. Maybe you could make the argument for men's hoops. But anyway, I know we got to get to break. Well, we're going to go to a break. To get back. This is the show.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show here on a Thursday. A little brief segment to wrap things up on a thirsty Thursday. Reminder, programming note, we will not have the show portion of the ITG tomorrow, as JC will be traveling down with his lovely wife, Nat, to go to the Wing Off on Saturday. So head on down to Five Points, CB18, and you can catch him there on Saturday.
All right, so I'm trying to figure out. Quantrell asked, who's going to hold up the bill? The SEC's not. I don't think – see, that's my point. I don't think they – when you're talking about politics, you know, the senators, certainly they represent the interest of the universities in their states, but they also represent their constituents. And those are statewide elections. I mean, you don't have some guy, obviously the guy that has to get reelected in the upstate. And I'm spitballing here because I don't have the congressional map in front of me, but if you're in the golden triangle of our state and you're a U.S. congressman and that's a district, you're going to vote in the interest of Clemson University, because otherwise you're going to primary and get booted out. And that's the motivating factor with everybody. And so what I think is, you know, the actual states and the constituents and the people, the stakeholders, I don't know that the SEC has the power, nor the Big Ten has the power to get it done. I mean, in Illinois, that's a Big Ten state. You got Tammy Duckworth and Dick Durbin and they're buddies with Maria Cantwell, who is the co-author of the, I mean, you know, I just don't know that they have that kind of pizzazz.
Sadly, it's who's funding these folks' campaigns who are going to have the most sway on whether or not they vote yay or nay. So you'll have to go look at where the money comes from more so than how the people feel.
Yeah. I mean, like, and Quantrell mentioned Texas. Well, Texas probably would not want Texas Tech's 9M, probably wouldn't want any kind of regulation at all. You're obviously Texas Tech does not, even though Cody Campbell wants the TV thing.
Yeah. All right. Cody Campbell wants the TV thing, and he wants the outside NIL to stay the way it is because he's been allowed to fly under the radar and flex his billions of dollars to make sure that Texas Tech. So, yeah, this is kind of slanted towards certain types of schools with certain types of donors.
So let's go through it. So you got Texas, right? The co-author of the bill is Ted Cruz. That's one senator from Texas. John Cornyn is the Senate Majority Leader. He's going to vote for it. So you get no votes against from the SEC state of Texas. You know, Tom Cotton from Arkansas, I would be surprised if he did not vote for this. Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, John Kennedy from Louisiana. John Kennedy's a Vanderbilt graduate. So I don't see it. And I don't know that Georgia or Alabama would, maybe Alabama would hold it up. It's just with how it works, it's going to be interesting. Bill says we don't know how it works because it's semi hush hush, because it's not supposed to be pay for play when it clearly is. Obviously it is.
Yeah.
And you're right. And you know, I don't even know everything about it. You know, I just try to wrap my head around whatever the latest thing is, how it works, how it impacts South Carolina. And I get a little fired up sometimes about it, the subject, because I know the people involved that work very hard to maximize this for the Gamecocks. And because of, like you said, Bill, you don't talk a lot about it. Every fan base, including this one, a lot of good people, but they get nervous. People are always, whenever their team loses a recruit or whenever they lose a game, you're always looking for answers. You always want to know why. And the low-hanging fruit is money these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you right now, there's been some situations where South Carolina in football or basketball or wherever has gotten that straight up outbid and just bowed out. And that's happened to every other school in the country as well. Most of them. I can tell you some of the basketball kids out of the portal that they lost this past time, two of them at least, simply wanted to go someplace else. So,
yeah,
you know, that's the thing there. Sometimes, and we see it more and more these days, we lose track of it these days. Sometimes guys just don't want to go to your school. Not even about money. They want to go something they prefer nothing against you. They prefer to go someplace else. And that still happens as well. X says whether or not a university likes it or not does not necessarily determine if it's in the school's best interest or what's best for the school. Amen, Xavier. That's so correct. So correct. So I'm curious to see how it turns out. 19-9. I'd like to see who the nine were that voted against it. There's some Democrats who are going to vote against it just because I think they know the president will sign it. And they don't want to be,
because it doesn't guarantee employment hood.
Funny. The NFL Players Association, Major League Baseball, basketball, all the major sports unions came out in favor of it. So did all the pro leagues. The one that did was the United Steelworkers Union. Which that's a worthy union, right? I mean, it's steel workers, but yeah, big unions, big labor is what they call it. They want a piece of the pie, and that's just how they work. I don't think that needs to be applicable to college sports. You know, keep your hands off of college sports, please. And all that good stuff. TD Knowles Millett, merely a thousandaire. I'm a hundredaire.
Yeah. Right.
I'm a $50 egg. Anyway, recruiting this weekend, Gamecocks are bringing some guys in. Don't forget that. Talked about a lot of that on coffee today. And there is an anti-Super League provision in this bill as well. So that's something there too. Quantrell, final thought here. This mess is too many wolves and sheep. Clothing. Absolutely. Like I said before, the fundamental problem of all of this is there's no leadership. There's not a leader. Rick Sankey's not a leader. He's a decider and he's a middle manager. If you ever worked in an office, and thankfully I've not had experiences like that when I've been in an office, you have these vast middle management layers in corporations. The wife has to deal with this. They are some of the most worthless people alive. You want to talk about AI taking jobs? Take theirs first. To those in our audience that are middle managers, I'm sure you're very good. They're not all bad. Just like with anything, they're not all
right.
Bad.
Not, it doesn't apply to everybody.
But I am stunned at some of the middle management stories I've heard. And that's what Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti are. They're not really leaders. They're middle managers. of the whole thing. There's no leader. There's nobody on the throne. There's nobody in the corner office. That office is vacant.
That's right. The corner office is vacant.
In college sports. So we'll see what happens there. Shane Beamer does have two outstanding welcome homes. I'd keep an eye kind of on some of the guys that visited recently. Of course, they picked up Clayton Lee. That was one of them yesterday.
I saw that. He's a wild and woolly picture of him floating around. Gamecock Central and Big Spur websites here.
A big Michael Flint there. So, congratulations to Earl Bass. 21 standouts that'll be inducted into the College Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Earl Bass was a very outstanding pitcher back in the 70s, back when Gamecock baseball got started. So, Contrell, I got to read this before we go, Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sankey is the middle manager with a JCPenney suit and spends more time flirting with women's staff getting the job done than getting the job done. It seems like he pays attention to the wrong things. And you know, it's like protect the TV deal at all. Because that's really that's a differentiator.
Well, the TV deal is where he gets his money, right? I mean, that's why Petiti are so invested in it, because it's success that has driven their paychecks.
I don't blame him.
For
doing that. And the president's obviously have communicated that to him because he works for the pleasure of the presidents. But, and I don't have a problem with him doing what he thinks is right. I'm just saying it's not good for college sports.
Right.
And it's hypocritical when you sit here and you're willing to lobby, you're willing to demand federal action, you're willing to do this, willing to do that, until one thing doesn't go your way in the bill. And you're like, well, no, we'd rather just have chaos than this. And that sucks, in my opinion. Mm. We'll live to fight another day. All right, so this is it for ITG for me this week. Again, looking forward to seeing everybody down in Columbia at thehospitality.com. We're going on out of here because I got to get to a doctor's appointment. So for the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, J.C. Sherbert, J.B. will be back tomorrow. So we'll have 2 hours tomorrow, 10 to noon. Matt Anderson's off for the rest of this week. Late Night Gamecock Show, because of Father's Day, will be Monday.
Monday.
Mm-hmm. So check that out then. Don't know what Rob's doing with SEC Sunday night. Check Sunday, then if it's not there Sunday, check Monday. And all that good stuff. All right, folks, don't forget, if you want to catch me, catch Phil, online, GamecockCentral.com, TheBigSpur.com, join Still for a Dollar. Own 3 is all over this Senate thing. Ross Dellinger had an article. I was looking at a good article about scheduling in the 2014 playoff. I can't believe nobody thought about scheduling before they met about it. That's stupid.
Again, no leadership.
Well, the folks that run the college football playoff, Clark, this Rich Clark guy, and before that it was another guy. They're not. They're an events company. You know, they're the folks that come out and set up the table. I mean, it's awful.
Yeah.
So they're
glorified wedding planners.
They're terrible. I mean, they've been terrible for a long time. Anyway. Folks, I hope you have a great weekend. Looking forward to getting back in the capital city. That's my heart good. Come see me. Down to CB18, 4 o'clock Saturday, cockyhospitality.com to RSVP. This has been ITG, the show. See you later.